In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As we are in the middle of the Great Lent, the goal of the journey of the Lent, through readings, hymns, the atmosphere of the Lent is different. All this is to prepare the congregation of the church to repentance. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of the Great Lent, and in this Sunday the church reads us for the chapter 4 from the Gospel of St. John about the repentance of the Samaritan woman. And also, if we see the Sundays of the Lent, we see last Sunday the church was telling us the story of the prodigal son, and this Sunday is the Samaritan woman repentance, and these two are very good examples of repentance. We see in the last Sunday was a young youth who was living in his father's house, and for some reason he went to a far country. The fourth Sunday is a prodigal woman, the Samaritan woman, is a adult female, and she never have been in her father's house. And here we say the father's house is really the church. So the prodigal son was for some time, or a good time of his age, was in the church. And for some reasons, as I said, he left the church and went to a far country. The Samaritan woman never have been to the church. She living all of her times in sin. And we see both of them are in need of repentance. And actually God accept anything who comes to him. He said, whoever comes to me, I by no means take it away. We see here those two examples. Whatever a person is, a youth, an adult, a male or female, always the door of God is open for repentance, for everyone to go. Here we see this Sunday gospel talking about the repentance of the Samaritan woman. We read one of the verses of this gospel. It says, Christ is saying to the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now we see how Christ dealt with this woman. And how to bring this woman to repentance, and how also he made the prodigal son to come to repentance. What happened with the prodigal son is when he went out for a country and he spent all his money, and then he was in need and he didn't find any one to help. Then he sat with himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Here we see what we have to do. We have to do what this prodigal son did. He came back to himself, and everyone also, he have to come back to himself and repent. Also, the Samaritan woman is a different kind of a human. She is an old woman, and she have different way of repentance. She have no spiritual experience, were never in her father's house, away from God, living in sin, but still she can repent. As I said, the door is open for all. And now we have a question. What delays our or prevent us from repentance? This is a good question to ask, and we have to find an answer to this question. The woman that Christ started talking to her, but she always was trying to avoid Christ, to avoid talking with him even. But he is trying to bring her with many ways, as he does with every one of us. Every one of us has a different way with God, with Christ, to bring him to repentance. But she was, as I said, is trying always to avoid talking with him. But he trying to bring her with so different many ways. In the beginning, she had resistance, trying to find an excuse to escape sitting with Christ. Sometimes we try to find excuses for everything we do in our lives, that excuses that looks very convincing, but it's always out of negligence, out of escaping, and that is the way we usually deal with Christ. An example of that kind of repentance and kind of people that always didn't try to find excuse for their life, but we take an example of Daniel the prophet. Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity. He was a very young youth. He has all the kinds of excuses to eat and drink of the king's food. And the book says about Daniel, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. This Daniel has many ways to escape, but in spite of Daniel being so busy, because we know that he, as God with him, he went up and has become the prime minister of Babylon, the country, and he has under himself 120 ministers. He is taking care of him, running the kingdom. But although of all this, Daniel has time to stay and pray and worship God three times every day, in spite of his all these responsibilities. Now, why to repent? We see why Christ went all the way to Samaria, where all the Jews, when they're going up from Jerusalem to the Galilee region, they never pass by Samaria, but they usually cross the Jordan River and go up until they pass by, and they pass Samaria, and then they go back crossing the river to the other side, to Galilee. But in this case, purposely, Christ has, as the gospel in chapter 4 of St. John says, that he has to pass by Samaria. Why he has to? Because he was with an appointment with this woman to meet with her and to bring her back to him. So why do you to repent? When we know that the darkness of sin, we will know why we have to repent. The woman, the Samaritan woman, was faced by Christ exposing her life. As the book says in chapter 4 also, "For you," he said to her, "for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband." She, having five husbands, and he told her, "The one you are with now is your husband." She never were satisfied with all those husbands. No one will be satisfied with his life in sin. And we look at those people who are living in sin, and we will never find them satisfied with what of their lives in sin. Sin never satisfies anyone. And here is an example. As our Lord said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks from the water that I shall give him will never thirst." This water that Christ is talking about, it represents all our desires in this life, in our life. But we never, whenever, whatever we do, whatever we gain, whatever we run after, always will never be satisfied, or will never be filled. We see Solomon the wise in the book of the Ecclesiastes saying, "All the rivers run in the sea, yet the sea is not full." He also said, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ears filled with hearing." He is giving us this wisdom verse that we are representing those rivers. Whenever they go in the sea will never be full. So whatever we do, exactly as Solomon said, whatever we do, whatever we gain, whatever we have and we running after, we will never be filled as the sea is never filled as all the rivers run unto him. And then until when we are running after that mirage, all those things that we are looking for or looking after are just a mirage. That is like something that we run after, and when we reach, we find nothing. We keep running, and at the end, we hear the voice saying in the Old Testament to say, "They spend all their lives for nothing." We spend all for life, and at the end, we hear the voice when we stand up in front of Christ, and he said, give an account of your stewardship. We keep running, and we at the end we get also nothing. We hear always of repentance, but we never tasted its sweetness. I'm sure many of us has tried that. But here we say, David the psalmist tells us, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste Christ. "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Whatever we do, whatever we have, whatever we, anything in our life we do, there is nothing that can separate us from our Lord Jesus Christ, from repentance and going to Him. Christ is begging every one of us. He is begging that we come to Him. As He said, "Come to me, O weary and load-bearing, and I will give you rest." That is what He wants to do with us. He meant to try, as He said to the woman, "If you know the gift of God," we have to know the gift of God that He have given us. Christ is begging us, every one of us, just like this, that woman, to taste His gifts to us. Taste what God have given to you. Don't say God is not listening to me, but God are giving us so many gifts. Just look at your life, look at what you have, and you will find how much gifts God have given to you and given to us. Sometimes we see the devil deceives us with the worldly things. He make everything looks good in our eyes, just exactly that we did with our father and our mother, Adam and Eve. Every day they were going around the garden, and they will never thought of the tree. But when the enemy, when the devil talked to him, the tree was in their eyes, is a new something in you, and is very good for the eye and for the to eat. That is always what we did. It just makes everything looks in eyes that you need, that you want. That is the way of Him. But He is, as Christ said up to him, He is the liar and the father of the liar. The devil always deceives us with worldly thing. And now look to this woman. How did she repent? The only thing we have to do to repent is to, as she did, she sat with Christ. That is the main thing for our repentance, is to sit with Christ. That's it. Christ wanted to be with her alone. We know from reading this chapter 4 of the Gospel of St. John, He asked His disciples to go and get some food. He just wanted to have a good time with the woman alone. We see after they brought the food, He did not eat. And He said to them, when they asked Him, "Lord, come and eat," what did He say to them? He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." That is the all what He needs, to do what His Father have sent Him for. He will never sit with Christ except alone. We as we have to sit with Him alone, away from the noise of the world. And to do what He said to us, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, sit with Him and talk to Him and have conversation with Him alone. What did the woman discuss with Christ? Always what we were saying is about worldly things. But lastly, he led her to repentance. That is the only way to repentance, to sit alone with Christ. Sit every day with him at the end of the day and discuss with yourself. As the prodigal son did, he said he came back to himself. You come back to yourself in the end of the day and discuss with yourself or what have happened all over the day in your life. What I did good and what I did wrong. Sit before the Holy Bible. You will find what you want. As we say in the 12th hour absolution, we say at the end of the sleep hour and all the 12th hour, O Lord, the sins which you have committed against you this day, whether in deed or in mind or in thought or through all the senses, please remit and forgive us for the sake of your holy name. That is what we say before going to bed, to ask for repentance, to ask for forgiveness. How did Christ treat this woman? He addressed her by a word. He said to her, woman. And we remember also that this is the same word that God Christ called him his mother, Saint Mary, in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. When this word now, it means the my lady. So see how Christ is treating this woman, and this is always the way he treats us also. He addressed her by this word to encourage her. How much meekness does Christ address and treat us? He always treat us very nicely with all this meekness that he did with the Samaritan woman. The last part of the this subject that we are talking about is to get to confession. That is the last part of repentance. So we talked about why, how, and then the last part is to confess. We remember a story about one of the patriarchs of our church who have some thoughts in his mind, not a very pure thoughts in his mind. And what did he do? He went to his father of confession, who was just a monk in the monastery, and sat with him and confessed his sins. And what did his father? You can imagine this. The patriarch is talking to just a priest monk, and this is the head of the church. But he went and sat down on the ground and asked forgiveness from his father of repentance. What happened? He gave him a task to do, to go and to clean the bathrooms of the monastery. And he did. He put this old cloth on himself, and every night at midnight he goes and cleans. And after a while, God have gave him the forgiveness, and have he was very calm after that. That is repentance. It's whatever you are, a small, young, old, youth, boy, a father, a priest, a monk, everyone have to repent. Everyone is subject to sin, and everyone have to repent. At the end, we have to confess. And now, the last thing here is if what is the fruit of repentance? When you repent, you will have this eagerness to worship and be with the God, with God, with Christ. That is the first fruit of repentance, is your eagerness to be in Christ. You rush at the end of the day to go and sit with him and talk to him. That is your heart's wish to do, that your eagerness to do is to worship and be with God. The second one of the fruits of the repentance, that the woman became a preacher. That was the second fruits of the woman that she got when she repented. She became a preacher. She went to the city and started shouting to everybody, saying, "Come and look. A man told me what I have done." And she started telling them about her story. And then all the city came to Christ by the preaching of this repenting woman. She became a preacher and brought all the city of Samaria to Christ. That is the fruits of repentance. And what the people said, she said to them, I believe this is the Christ. And they came and asked Christ to stay with him, and he stayed there for 2 days and teaching them. May God give us the wisdom to go to him, to sit with him, to talk to him, to confess to him and repent. And that is the fruit, as we said, of the repentance. May God give us this wisdom to be confessing all the time, to repenting all the time. And the glory be to God forever. Amen.